Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dig your cleats in.
Line drive sailing away from Mullins. Oh! An impossible catch. Oh, my goodness.
This is the Hot Corner with Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher.
What did I do wrong? What did I see wrong?
Covering all things baseball, the big leagues, and the MLB to Portland.
And there's another rocket. Mike Trout has tied it up with an absolute bomb to the top of the facade in left center field. Talk about Stanton territory. Trout hammers it, and it's 4-4, 473 feet.
Now, here are your hosts, Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher on 1080 The Fan.
Well, welcome into the Hot Corner for It Must Be a Tuesday, baby. It was always a Tuesday around here. Patrick Harris with you. Joe Fisher to my left. Let's go. Schultzy on the ones and twos.
Happy New Year, or is that moratorium now? Can we not say that?
I heard something earlier today that was like, you going to the office and saying Happy New Year to people? That's old.
I feel like you get the Monday.
I was just trying to be nice.
If you have a first interaction with someone this week, then you can say Happy New Year. Like, Happy New Year to you. This is the first time I've seen you since the new year.
Thanks, Joe.
Like,
Happy
New Year to you. Christmas, actually. It's been a long ways, like 2-3 weeks.
Yeah, we missed the last 2 weeks because the holiday eves all fell on Tuesdays.
So I got a fun situation. So my kids, our kids, they're in school. So they get a break for winter break. They also get a summer break. Their mother is...
That's how school works.
Their mother is a teacher.
Oh, I had no idea.
Their father is a teacher. Their father's wife owns a coffee shop in a college. So they all have the same vacations.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
And I had to work on Christmas Eve. And my kids look at me, they're like, you have to go to work? Why would you go to work? And it's like, well, let me tell you something, my friend.
What a loser.
Most jobs in this world, you don't get time off for good behavior.
Yeah. But my mom gets 3 months straight off.
You're like, that's
cool. And my dad's wife.
So what's wrong with you? Are you a loser? And it's like, yes, kids, I am a loser.
Yep. Yep. That's what I call people that actually perform some sort of work, commerce, on Christmas Eve.
Just blue collar over here, man. Just you, blue collar over here.
You bum.
You know, we just want to make sure I'm a man of the people.
That's what I told my pharmacist girlfriend that makes substantially more than me. I'm like, you loser. You have to work on Christmas Eve? Oh, my God. That's embarrassing. Also, don't show me your pay stub.
Yeah, please don't embarrass me.
If you show me the pay stub, that's I'm going to lose my ass.
You don't need to do that at all.
My wife makes more than me too, Joe. It's okay.
You're like, eh, it's fine. It's fine.
I'm the breadwinner in the house, but it's because I got to work on Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve.
Hey, good tips, though. Time and a half.
Not for me. As a salaried manager, I don't
take that's
tips.
Right. Did you know call no show?
No, the other employee did.
Well, does that mean he was fired?
She was fired.
Yeah. That's what I thought.
Not going to lie. I'm going to have to just turn this Jeff Rust picture somewhere around. Else. Maybe towards Schultzy.
No. The Costanza no. Jeff Rust picture.
Yeah. I mean, like, yes. Just
take
put it
on Burt
ground.
Reynolds.
Yeah, it's we're just going to, like a divorced couple, going to just put the picture face down. Like, I can't look at it anymore. It makes me think of her.
Maybe I'll set it up and be like, oh, boy.
I haven't been listening today. It's been a busy one for me. Who put that up there? Who brought that in? Why is it here? What's going on?
I can
on?
Give you some background on that. Is that Jason Sukanik said, if I just had a picture of Jeff Rust, an 8x10, you know, at my house, just in a frame, that would just be fantastic.
Well, then why didn't he take it home?
That's a good question.
That is a
he was literally
question.
Just in here.
Well, I don't know if the BTJ wants to look at Jeff Rust like Sukanik does, you know? Like,
my God.
But yeah, then it was Jeff Rust actually showed me that photo weeks ago that he, I don't know if he photoshopped. Well, actually, I mean, that could just be his body. I don't know.
I like to believe that that's his body.
Yeah, I do too, for his sake. But yeah, he showed me that photo a few. No. It was Jake. It was Such Man. It was the guy who handles our
Sorry,
YouTube
we
stream.
We are not cool enough to know about your
well,
cool
he knows
salespeople
I know
and
Jake.
All
he
that
He knows
stuff.
Jake. That he's not a salesperson. He handles the YouTube stuff. He handles our YouTube channel.
I know
Cooley,
resident Red Sox fan, is in charge now.
Your new
yes,
boss.
He is. Big
My
cheese.
New boss, big Red Sox fan.
Yeah, your boss, Ryan Cooley. No, Jake is the guy that handles all of our,
my boss is Sacramento. I'm Utah. Just saying that. And I'm going to live with that forever.
Well, and then his boss is
until Cooley's Red Sox Cooley. Actually start like
in so
competing
facto,
again, then he doesn't get nothing from me.
Cooley's your boss. Jake handles our YouTube stuff and he does Photoshop and Adobe stuff. To...
He's got the cool, like, graphics.
Yeah.
He's the graphic guy.
And so he was the one that put together that Jeff Rust photo, from my understanding. And he said, he's like, I take my work seriously.
That's awesome. Good for you, Jake.
Yeah. So,
solid.
So that's where that photo came from.
You guys watching this virtual golf tourney going on right now?
Yeah. And it's kind of dumb. And I love golf, but I'm out on it already. I saw one player hit one ball, and I was like, no, I'm good. No.
Maybe if they had
McElroy's beers. Plus eight, and they're like, he's washed. He's done.
On a simulator. My God.
Yeah.
That looks like a hole.
Yeah, but it doesn't.
So what, they place the ball where the digital
yes.
drop is
yeah, yeah so that this, light
I mean
tells
and now
you
they get
it.
To putt for normal
that's weird
I've been to the Winter Fan Golf Classic I've seen some dudes in some polos and some golf shoes taking it real seriously and they did not have a putting green to finish out at the end.
To me, this is just high-tech golf. Like, not even this is just high-tech X golf with better players and I'm good. Like,
is this the future of X golf?
They have a shot clock?
Well, yeah, it's
indoors. Is this the future of X golf? Like, you do your drives and your chips, but your putting is real?
I'm good on
I mean,
all
that
this.
Would be pretty cool.
Oh, my God.
They are doing bigger and better events. I don't know if you've seen, like, the Cosm Bar that's, like, in Dallas and Los Angeles, where you go in and
it looks... Cosm?
Yeah, Cosm.
Kazootite.
Yeah, C-O-S-M. Essentially, you go in, and it looks like you're watching an NFL game
at the stadium.
I've seen
like,
that.
In the end zone, and it really does look like you're there in person.
Ooh, is that Ricky Fowler?
Yeah, but the thing is you're watching actual football. That matters, whereas this is
bullshit. Well, what I'm saying is we're going to the virtual experience for things. And
the Boston Common Frogs? That's one of the team names?
That's funny.
I'm sorry. And after all the bitching and moaning about LIV Golf, to then have PGA guys go and do this and be like, oh, no, it's fine.
I just saw Ricky Fowler. Do you think he'll blow it at the simulation, too?
It's possible.
Probably.
Is this Sunday? Is it Sunday? I thought it was Tuesday.
Yeah, this is. I'm not.
Fowler wins because it's not a Sunday?
I'm not on board with any of this.
Does Tiger come out in red because it's the final round?
Tiger hit a camera, apparently, to start it off.
See, like, what are we doing?
I love that.
Isn't it great?
I'm here for that.
What are we doing?
I am absolutely here for that.
Hole number nine. And it, I'm sorry.
Watch out for the water hazard.
It's a triangle of grass followed by
a triangle of grass. You are right.
Followed by a diamond of grass. Then
watch that early water hazard there.
This is just simulator golf, which is not nearly as fun as regular golf.
Hey, simulated golf is an important part of the 1080 The Fan family, okay?
Yeah, for regular guys.
Joe, do not trash simulated golf. Our friends at X Golf.
I'm not trashing simulated
Mike
golf.
Barrett would walk in this room and slap you.
I literally said to two of my friends today, we gotta get some sim golf in here soon. We gotta hit the simulators here.
Do you
soon.
Think I would be better at sim golf as somebody who's never golfed? I've golfed once in my entire life. A lot of putt-putt in my career. Steak burger, shout out Hazeldale, Washington. As someone who has golfed once in my life and was terrible, do you think I would be better at simulation than real golf?
No, I mean if you don't
think
play,
I'd be worse?
You would just be equally bad.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you're saying it's equal competition?
No, I'm just saying that golf is extremely hard.
Oh, that I'm just bad.
And if
so
you
I'm
don't
bad
play
everywhere.
It and you're bad at regular golf and don't play it, then you're just going to be bad at regular simulator golf.
I thought
too.
You were going to tell me that Rory is worse at this because he's best at real stuff.
Well, Rory knows how to not win a major anymore. That's what he knows how to do. So this fits perfectly for him. He can win this.
Åberg is there, so I'm rooting for Åberg.
I believe it's Ludvig Åberg.
Åberg?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's an O and not an I.
Yeah, because then he gets an A with those two circles.
Yeah, the two dots or whatever the hell that is.
It's called an umlaut.
Yeah, this is dumb. I'm sorry.
All right, let's...
I would rather learn how cricket is played and follow that versus this. Because at least billions of people care about cricket.
Shane Lowry's in the drink and he's like, this is bull!
Well, who's the other? Tyrell Hatton. I would rather have him here because he just curses up a storm on the golf course.
Do you think if John Daly were at this simulation, yes. He's just ripping cigs and just slamming vodka?
That'd be funny. Yes.
I think you need to add beer into this. Like, for every bogey you get, you drink a beer. Like you
like
got to
shotgun a beer.
Yes, and they have a whole like little setup for
that's
you. You go to
golf.
The table to
that
shot.
That is X
shot,
golf.
Exactly.
Next time I go to X golf with you guys, if you like blow it and you're out of bounds, you got to shotgun a beer.
Yeah, you get the crowd cheering for you while you shotgun it. Like that is something
chug,
I could get.
Chug,
it. Yeah,
chug, go, chug, go, chug.
Yeah, I'm out on this. I'm sorry.
Oakley Doakley. Well, we got a show for you tonight. There is a lot to get to. I'd like to talk about the Athletics.
What?
The no home Athletics.
Yeah, I was going to say the blank Athletics.
They are not the Sacramento Athletics. They are not the Vegas Athletics. They're just the Athletics. I'd like to get into the Athletics. And speaking of them, we have lost another great, great player in baseball. So we'll revisit the fantastic career of one Ricky Henderson. Plus, we got Hall of Fame vote. And is there a team that's actually spending money? Are they going to be a player? Because I love to bash on them, but, you know, my boss loves them, apparently. So we're going to do a lot of that. We come back, though, we're going to deviate a little bit from baseball for a hot second, because I got a question to ask you guys, and I'd really love to know your answer. Yeah, I'm really excited about this. I think I know your answer, but I'm going to argue my answer. That's next. Hot Quarter, Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan. 718, Portland Sports Leader, don't you forget it. We are live from the shadows of the historic Fremont Bridge.
We'll do it live!
Vancouver 4 text line 503-864-6362. That bad boy lets you interact with us throughout the entire show. Your dollar goes further at Vancouver 4 than you should write before, during, after the sale. Visit VancouverFord.com. I drove over a nail and lost pressure in my tire. Swap the spare on that, and I'm going to go to Vancouver Ford tomorrow, and their crack team of awesome people are going to take care of that for me, because it's covered under my warranty. No sales tax in Oregon. Vancouver Ford, what up? Also, shout out to the YouTube people as we are here. We got a lot of baseball to get to, but I thought it would be fun if this stupid, I was listening to some sports radio this morning, and it kind of got me thinking of this. So I would like to present this to you two, my friends. You watch college football, correct?
Yeah,
a little bit.
You watch the NFL, correct? This is not a duck
thing. Thank you. Okay. I was going to say.
Both of you responded. Again. I was like, Jesus, this is not. I want to ask you, are the Ducks done forever? Should they shut the program down?
No, definitely. I was like, when you did the tease going into break, I was like, oh, I didn't really think it. And then we came back, and I was just I'm like, is he going to do some S right here?
Okay. Like, I'm all talked out about the Ducks, man. They sucked. No. They sucked bad, and they got to regroup.
No. I mean, we can go that way if you want, but that is not my intent.
I'm good. I'm good.
So, I was listening to some national people today. Now, the Tennessee Titans have the number one pick.
Yarp.
Yep. They have fired their GM, but they have decided to keep Brian Callahan. Will Levis sucks. Who was the other guy they had? Malik Willis?
A couple years ago.
Mason Rudolph was there.
And so they've been like looking for a new quarterback. I have heard rumors that Tennessee is probably more interested in Cam Ward than Shedeur Sanders.
Which they should be.
So my question to you guys is, if Tennessee selects number one overall quarterback Cam Ward, do I get to claim a third quarterback drafted number one overall from Washington State University? Mm. Because we had Jack Thompson in the late 70s. Bledsoe in the 90s. Cam Ward played 2 years at Wazoo before he went to Miami. Do I get to claim Cam Ward as a third number one overall draft pick? Let's not forget Ryan Leaf went number two in 98. Do I got four quarterbacks drafted? One and two in the history of my program?
How many years did he spend in Incarnate Word?
One.
So yeah, 4 years total.
Red shirt and a one. Where he won the Heisman at D2, and then he went to Wazoo for 2 years, and then went to Miami. Do I get to claim Cam Ward as a third number one overall draft pick quarterback?
You might have said it. Who was it besides Bledsoe?
Jack Thompson in the 70s.
Okay.
And then Lee.
What? What is this? Okay.
Anybody remember Jack Thompson?
The throwing Samoan?
I mean, you know. Whatever.
Jack Thompson is a wonderful human being.
70s quarterbacks do not equal today's quarterbacks, but, you know.
It's
tell
true.
That to Terry Bradshaw.
Or Roger Staubach, so I'll stop talking now.
Or Fran Tarkenton.
Yeah. Or Bob Greasy.
Do I get to claim Cam Ward as a Wazoo number one overall?
No.
Why?
Because
why? He spent more time at my school than anywhere else. He was garbage, and I hate him, but that's beside the point.
Was coming out of college this year after playing for Washington State, then yes. Because I feel that, Bo Nix spent 2 years at Oregon, but he spent three at Auburn?
Yes, but his time at Oregon was more successful than at Auburn, so.
I mean,
That's what I'm asking.
It makes me mad as a Duck fan, for instance, when Auburn tries to say, oh, Bo Nix, we've got a quarterback in the NFL. No, but, you effers, that's a Duck.
But wouldn't that piss off Auburn fans when you guys say that's a Duck?
No.
Because
is Jackson Dart an SC Trojan?
They gave up on Bo Nix. Cam Ward gave up on the Cougars. I think there's a little bit of a difference.
So you get
here.
A yes for Bo because they gave up on him.
And a yes for Cam.
But Cam is a yes because he gave up on
us. Also, like, I don't know.
He gave them some good days.
I don't know the exact situation, but it's not like Auburn also was, like, pointing a gun to Bo Nix's head and be like, you better effing transfer out of here. Like, Bo Nix could have stayed at Auburn if he very much wanted to.
For sure could have. Cam Ward could have stayed at Wazoo.
Yes. But I think that you are not a number one.
We had John Mateer, who's now in Oklahoma.
You are not a number one overall pick. You are not in the situation if you are as Cam Ward if you play this season at Washington State.
I just want to know if I can claim him. Like, John Mateer. You can claim him. Arch Manning has one more year before he can go into the draft.
You can claim him.
If John Mateer at Oklahoma this year just balls out like he did at Wazoo, but on a better team and a better conference, and he goes number one, do I get to claim John Mateer?
You can claim him all you want. I just be prepared if you are met with some skepticism.
Are you claiming Bo Nix?
Yes.
Then you are a walking contradiction.
I don't think so, because
does Oklahoma claim Jalen Hurts?
No.
Because I feel like we all associate him with Alabama.
Well, yeah. Because he played at Oklahoma second.
Right.
I think that his story at
Alabama. So Jalen Hurts doesn't work, but Bo Nix works because it's your team.
Let me rephrase, because I thought it was the other way around, that he started Oklahoma and went out. But
nope.
It was Alabama first, Oklahoma. I think Oklahoma claims him because that was the school that he finished with last. That was the school where he made his bones. That is the school that put him in the position to where he could get drafted.
And I would argue that Cam Ward made his bones at Wazoo, which is why he got to Miami.
And I would make the bones that he made his name at Incarnate Word. He would not be at Washington State if it wasn't for what he did at Incarnate Word.
I hate you so much right now, Joe. But that's why I wanted to ask.
I think it's, in today's day and age, it's where you finished. And the school.
It's like Joe at LSU. Joe is a Tiger.
Yeah.
He's not a Buckeye.
Quinn Ewers is a Longhorn.
Where was he before?
He was Ohio State guy too. Yeah.
Oh, Ohio State should figure out their quarterback situation. Well, to let a lot of guys go.
I mean,
they're kind of doing all right right now.
That dude at Syracuse is pretty good too. I watched him in a bowl game.
I think you guys are thinking of like where we kind of have the first thought of this player being from. And that's usually where they're more successful, right? And yeah, Cam Ward, I'd say, is a little successful at Miami. Like, as far as like the team goes, like
he didn't play defense, so that's not his fault.
Exactly. He did great. The team kind of overshadowed that a little bit. They were okay on top of two great years at Washington State. Like,
two average years at Washington State. Can Arizona State claim Jaden Daniels?
No.
No, because he didn't win a Heisman there.
Yeah, that, no.
Oh, so the Heisman makes it.
Well, he had his best year at LSU. Like, and that was the last school he was at.
I would argue when it comes to Cam Ward, I watched him at Miami and was like, that guy looks like a Wazoo quarterback if I've ever seen one in my life.
That I think what...
You're doing the same stuff you did at Wazoo.
What I think the media and how everything plays out with these guys is, it's where are you coming out of? What college are you directly coming out of? What is made like?
I think Jalen Hurts is the exception to this rule.
I don't think so, because he got benched at Alabama, like,
well, at halftime in a natty.
Yeah, and that worked out extremely well for Tua once he stayed at Alabama and finished out his career there.
I would agree.
When he went to Oklahoma, Lincoln Riley saved his career and made him a prominent name, to where he was then able to start, play better, be a better quarterback, and put him in the position where he is now.
Now, it's funny you mentioned Lincoln Riley, because I would definitely consider Caleb Williams a USC guy.
Yes.
But he played 2 years there.
Yes.
But he played 2 years, not one.
But again, Bo Nix played 2 years at Oregon.
No, he didn't. He played one.
No, he played two.
No, he played two.
He had the Holiday Bowl year, and then he had last year. In the Fiesta Bowl.
It's your fault.
You hate
all
Joe.
All of this is your fault.
You hate Joe. You don't hate me. I still say Cam Ward should be, because of his great play at Wazoo, be given the Wazoo designation.
I don't hate Joe. I love Joe Burrow. I think Joe Burrow's awesome. Fisher? Oh, yeah. Sorry. We'll talk about that off the air.
I think that, because also, what does Goodell say when Cam Ward is at the podium?
He's going to save the U.
University of Miami. And Washington State. And Incarnate Word.
And he'll find a way to screw up his name pronunciation. Cam Ward.
Weird.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I claim him. I am not going to, I don't think there's rules on this where he can only be claimed by a school.
I would give love to the YouTube channel, the chat. Claim Cam Ward as a Coug and that the earth is flat if you want. It's your show. I do like that.
Shots
it's kind of like Jarrett came out the other day and was like, I didn't buy the team to just sit back. I bought the team to have a job.
Yeah. Or I didn't want to give it to my kids. I bought it for me.
Yeah, and this is my show, all right? My name is first. Like, damn
Dad,
it.
But Dad.
But Dad.
Yeah. Dad. Claim it if you want, but like I said, if going forward you're met with some eyebrow raises and some, well.
I think the best part about this conversation, which is I brought it up to see what you guys would think, is I don't want to claim Cam Ward.
What are we talking about then?
He was garbage at Wazoo.
He wasn't garbage.
No, he was not garbage at all.
I take John Mateer.
Okay, calm down.
I'm not going to calm down. I'm fired up.
Cam Ward had some solid games. He was very inconsistent.
John Mateer looks like Josh Allen.
All right.
That's a big
Cam
joke.
Ward looks like Deshaun Watson.
Let's calm down here.
Whoa.
On the field, Deshaun Watson.
On the field, yeah. Nobody
yeah,
wants
you got
to
specify with that one.
Yeah, yeah. No, that'd be. I don't hate Cam Ward that much. That would be rough.
I would also say that Cam Ward had better tools, better options, better things to work with at Miami. So
cool, because they've been cheating for decades. So when NIL came around, they were like, "Oh, sweet, we know how to do this."
He threw the same amount of picks as he did at Washington State in the second year as he did this year. 7. Now, granted, he threw 14 more touchdown passes this year. But
and he missed the playoff just like he did at Wazoo. So yeah. Congratulations. So,
I mean, do whatever you want. Claim him. Don't claim him. You want to crown his ass? Crown him.
All right. Let's
He will be the number one overall pick, by the way.
Yeah. I hate both these quarterbacks. I don't like Shadur, and I don't like Cam.
I definitely don't like Shadur.
Yeah, Shadur's falling on a lot
of
draft
boards. Have you seen
the
way he throws? He, like, chucks his shoulder at it. I really hate it.
It's a long throwing motion. It takes a while.
But it's not like the Tebow thing where it's, like, at the bottom and then comes up. It's just he's got to, like, shove his shoulder as part of his arm strength.
It's like a shot put. Almost.
Yeah. And that worked for Rivers, and everybody hated Rivers, so good luck.
I loved Philip Rivers.
I also did, too.
And
I
his 20 children.
Fan at the time. 18, Joe. Pull it back.
17?
Maybe. We'll have to fact check that. All right, when we come back, let's dive into some baseball. I'd like to talk about the Athletics. Not the media company, the Athletic.
The team.
But America's new favorite team, the Athletics.
Why?
Well, I think they're doing some crazy stuff.
Yeah, like moving from Oakland.
Well, I think there's more to it than that.
I don't know.
We'll get to that next, but first we'll throw it to Schultzy with sports. Coming up in the second hour, we'll get to Hall of Fame vote is out. Some first-timers, some last-timers, some steroids. So I'm curious if we had votes, what we'd do about that. Plus, we'll pay homage to one of the greats that passed away. But Joe, you were kind of looking at me like I was absolutely insane because I want to talk about the Athletics.
Yeah, was it that massive extension they gave out today?
Well, they re-signed Brent Rooker on what looks like, if he continues in the path that he had last season, that looks like a steal. Because I believe if Brent Rooker was on the open market, he would make more money than that.
Well, again, that's why I'm also like, why did Brent Rooker and his agent agree to any of that?
That I'm shocked as well.
Well, I think it's got escalators, at least at the end. It could become 6 years and $90 million, mm-hmm. which is a big jump
big
from
jump.
5 and 60. So I think that $30 million, essentially, like Brent Rooker betting on himself.
It's like the Albies, Bregman, Acuna, Tatis kind of sign a deal early to guarantee yourself some money.
Well, and he knows he could get injured. He knows that, like, yo, I don't know what the future holds. Like, money now is more valuable than money tomorrow.
But also remember,
somewhat reminiscent of the Brian Reynolds deal with Pittsburgh is what it's kind of similar to.
But also remember, they also signed somebody to the largest contract in Athletics history in this offseason. Have we forgotten this?
Oh, yes.
Was it Severino.
Luis Severino.
Yeah, the $64 million?
Something like that, yeah.
It was $1 million above Eric Chavez's deal. That's all I remember.
So now you've spent big money on a free agent pitcher.
Quote unquote, big money.
Big money, quote unquote. Yes, yes, that's fair. That's fair.
In Athletics terms.
In Athletics term, or in honestly any small market team.
The Pirates
terms.
And Rays are like, these guys are out of control.
What that kind of money for that guy?
What are they doing? Are they insane?
The Rockies are like, ooh, dodged a bullet.
They're like,
we were going to give them 80.
No, we were going to give the other team 80. We were going to give them money so that you could pay him.
But it kind of got me thinking, why is, it's so funny, I want to say Oakland and I have to check myself. Why do the Athletics all of a sudden want to spend money? Trying to get those seats filled in Sacramento?
I was going to say, what seats filled? The non-existent seats? Are they even playing in Sacramento this year?
Yeah, yeah. That's their home turf.
Yeah, I know, but wasn't
that... And I say turf.
Wasn't that also up in the air for a little bit?
They're going to play in Sacramento.
On a Little League field?
No, a Triple A field.
All right. I could have sworn that after that was announced, like, oh, yeah, no, we're going to do this, there was also some like, oh, well, actually, now that's up in the air, too.
I've got a little theory about this.
So, I do as well.
Okay.
Should we let Schultze go first, or should I do it? What if he steals my idea?
I want to hear what yours is.
How about how about nobody talks for 30 seconds and see how that plays out?
What the hell?
Well, actually, we can actually get like booted and get fined for that.
I can hear radios clicking off everywhere already.
Joey gets a call.
What I believe, the reason that the Athletics, again, I got to catch myself.
The blank Athletics.
The Athletics. The reason the Athletics are doing this is because in a year, if they get to Vegas, they cannot run the operation the way they did in Oakland. In Vegas. If they go to Vegas, they have to spend money. And Jed Fisher is a terrible owner, maybe the worst in baseball. We all know that. There's no secrecy behind that.
You just call
that.
Him Jed Fisher?
Yeah, isn't that his name?
John Fisher.
John Fisher.
You combine Jed Fish, head coach of Washington, and John Fisher.
I hate that guy.
Got them
so
Huskies
much.
On your mind.
I hate Jed Fish so much.
So funny.
Go Cougs. John Fisher knows that he cannot go to Vegas and run this team the way he ran it in Oakland. So you start sprinkling in. Oh, I got a Met, former Yankee. He's our ace on the staff. We didn't trade Mason Miller. Signed Brett Rooker to an extension. Just letting y'all know when we come to Vegas, baby, Vegas.
We mean business.
We mean business.
777.
Money. We're going to trade for Bryce Harper, bring home the hometown kid. Yeah. That's my theory. Not the Bryce Harper. I was joking about that. But my theory is that John Fisher knows that he can't do this douchery in Vegas. So he's using this 1 year to kind of build some clout to say, hey, we spend money. Because he's got money. He's got money. That payroll can be maybe not a Yankee, Dodger, Red Sox payroll. But that payroll could be a Rangers, a Padres, a Cubs type payroll. And I think that's why he's doing this.
Schultze, what is your theory?
I'm wondering if it's the simple availability of money now that they're moving from a very dilapidated stadium that they've had to sit in that's caused a massive operating loss in the last couple of years as compared to a profit the years before as attendance started to drop off. Like, now moving to Sacramento, I just wonder if that, you know, $20, $30 million that you were kind of sitting on knowing that you're going to lose next year, like, well, that's actually available, and we're going to use this available money. Essentially, it's already money that you've spent and put towards your organization in years past on the balance sheet, right? So I'm assuming some accountant came to John Fisher, at least from my theory, and said, hey, we've actually got this money that if we don't spend, like, we're going to look like idiots, and this is how businesses run year to year. They like to spend the same amount of money. If they don't, then the next year, the people giving them the amount of money that they gave them think, well, if it took you less money to operate this year, I'm going to give you that amount of money less. So I do feel like it's a smart situation, if this is true, where they're taking that extra cash that they will have, because it's not going to cost nearly the same to operate in Sacramento for the next couple of years that it did in Oakland. And that, I think, gives them the ability to give $20 million to Severino this year. What is it? It's like a $12 to $15 million start for Rooker for his 15. Salary. 15. So that actually kind of lines up, I feel like, with the money that they would have to spend if they were still in Oakland as opposed to Sacramento.
So you think Fisher is still running it like he did in Oakland?
No, I actually like your theory. I think he is going to get building up to that point, but the way that he does it is going to be a little bit of a cheapo status, and this is a way to do that.
I just think the Vegas thing, like, look at the Golden Knights, all right? They are constantly fighting for cups, all right? The Raiders, yeah, there's a weird thing with Mark Davis. There's a weird thing with that. But, like, they fired Antonio Pierce. And I think a lot of that is, like, we think we can get a better coach. We have a high draft pick.
We probably should have never hired you in the first place.
Probably should have never done it in the first place. But I think they know they don't want to be the away team at home every year. And I think Fisher has to look at that as well and say, I can't be the away team at Vegas every year. It's like, that's why the Spanos still can't figure things out. Even with Harbaugh and Herbert, they're still the away team at home in LA. And that's why I think he's starting to kind of do these little things that I agree, Jordan, that I think he is looking at it like, we can spend more money this year because we're saving money. But I think it's more of an aesthetic thing. I need people to see that the Athletics, when we go to Vegas, are going to be big-time players. And I will counter another argument with this. J.J. Bleda, Butler, Rooker, Severino, Miller. That's not an easy out this year in the West. I'm not saying they're going to win the division by any means, but that's not an easy out.
Yeah.
The Angels are doing stuff. The Astros are going to be players because, you know, they're cheating and that's how they've got there. The Mariners are doing nothing, but they have the best rotation in baseball.
Sitting on their hands.
But they got the best rotation in baseball. The A's are not an easy out. This is the best division in baseball.
I would say that it's kind of a combination. I have a feeling of a combination of what both of you are saying is that they have more money to spend this year, so yeah, let's get Severino, give him the biggest contract in A's history, which is funny to say out loud because it's just not that big in comparison to some other ones. Let's give Brent Rooker some more money, but also let's do this so we can lock in some guys, and then when we get to Vegas, then we really go in.
That's what I'm thinking.
Like, this is sort of like a teaser as into, once we get to that point and have even more money available to us, we go in. Because, yeah, I don't think you can go to Vegas. Like, for God's sakes, it's Vegas. Whoever says in Vegas, I'm going to save some money.
Yeah.
I'm going to be conscious about how much money I spend in Las Vegas.
The NBA is
going to... I'm going to be careful with the money I spend in Las Vegas.
The NBA is going to have a team in Vegas. Do you think they're going to be garbage? No. They're going to have players like Anthony Edwards or Steph Curry as an aging guy or Durant as an aging guy or a Trae Young or, you know, whatever. They're going to go find the best players in baseball because they're going to put them on parade. And I think the Athletics have to start thinking that way. I'm actually, like, buckled up for this. I want to see this. I think this could be something really cool. Now, it sucks that it's John Fisher because that guy's a douche. But if he actually, like, imagine if the Pirates
Jed
all the... Jed Fisher. Imagine if the Pirates one day... Imagine if the Tampa Bay Rays were like, you know what? Screw it. $200 million payroll. Let's do it. That's must-watch TV.
It's probably what you...
That's must-watch baseball.
It's probably what a lot of these teams should be doing. I mean,
well, with the amount of money they take home. But yeah, if my Cleveland baseball team decided to just have a $200 million payroll, sign me up.
Yeah.
Sign me up.
like, wow, you actually want to spend money on the things that make you more money?
Yeah.
A good team.
You're telling me my team is now the Oregon Ducks, where Phil Knight can just blanket write a check?
Okay.
Sign me up.
All right.
Sign me up.
Well, you just had to go there, didn't you?
What? It's fact.
What are you like?
Lean into it, Joe. It's okay.
Yeah, just any sort of Ducks
conversation. Are you sensitive about Phil Knight's bankroll?
Hey, there's other schools with boosters, okay?
Okay, yeah, they are.
There's other rich dudes out there that went to other schools.
Yeah,
right?
They all own Nike.
No, but, you know, I'm pretty sure Maryland gets some pretty cool jerseys from the Under Armour guy.
Yeah, because the Under Armour guy doesn't want to give his money away to a bad program.
Go Terps. Go Terps.
All right, when we come back, let's stick with the Athletics. We lost one of the great ones, and I'd like to talk about how this relates to other conversations we'll have in the second hour and stuff like that. We'll do all that next. Ricky is Ricky. This is the Hot Corner, Portland sports leader, 1080 The Fan. Coming up in the second hour, we got Hall of Fame coming up. Voting ends soon, so I'd like to bring up the ballot and have us all kind of take our picks, which we like to do usually on this show. I'm a big Hall of Fame guy because I'm a big historian of baseball guy. So I'd like to take a quick peek at the ballot and see what you guys, if you had votes, what you would do. Plus, we'll get into, there's a team that surprised us last year but still wasn't very good that are spending money. I'd like to see what we think about that and how that division unfolds just in general. Plus, we'll have fair or foul at the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. But I'd like to use this opportunity to give some love to the greatest leadoff hitter in the history of baseball.
The greatest base runner of all time, perhaps, as well?
Yeah. We lost Ricky Henderson over the holiday. And Ricky is, you know, there's a lot of fun stuff to talk about with Ricky Henderson about just his personality, just who Ricky was, the third person. He picks up the bass and says, "Now I am the greatest of all time." You know, and it's like he was such a character. But I think what's a lot more fascinating is that it's kind of like you see this in the NBA. There are not true point guards anymore. When you look at that Celtics team that won a title with Garnett and Pierce and Allen, like Rajon Rondo was extremely important to that team because he was an old school true point guard. All those Jazz teams and how great they were, it is no shock to me that John Stockton has 1,000 more assists than anybody else because he was a true point guard. Jason Kidd is number two. That's another guy. True point guards. And we don't see that in the NBA anymore. And we don't see that in baseball anymore. The Dodgers lead off with Shohei Ohtani. The Braves lead off with Ronald Acuna Jr. The art of a guy that just gets on base and can run doesn't really exist anymore. It's about, you're my best player, and I need you to see as many at-bats as possible, which is fine. I have no issue with that. But I think Ricky encompasses all of that. There are Ricky home runs. That's what they call them. You get a single, and then you steal second, third, and home, and that's a Ricky home run. And he did that like 12 times. I just think when greats like this pass, it is really fun to kind of look back and see just how truly special they were. In 85, Ricky had 146 runs scored. 146. The dude was cool. And he was cool.
I was going to say, I was like, that is one of his, one of the adjectives that describes him best. He was just cool. He had the swagger about him. I mean, his stolen base numbers.
In 82, he had 130 stolen bases.
Insane. Like, I know that this year we were like, oh, can Ellie De La Cruz get to 100? And it's like, yeah, will anybody ever get to the numbers that Ricky Henderson put up?
We saw Acuna at 70, and it's like, bro, double that, and you'll get to Ricky.
It's insane. And that was before the rule changes, right? Like, the game is now trying to support players stealing bags. And the closest thing we might get to him right now in today's game is Ellie De La Cruz. And yeah, he hasn't even got 100 yet. This guy, when you think of stolen bases and just a menace on the base paths, it's Ricky Henderson. He is, you know, I said just at the lead of the segment, possibly one of the best. He is the best. And he had unconventional power, like, and just his style. Like, he was one of the, he was cool. He was a cool baseball player before there were cool baseball players.
Right, right.
Like, and him passing at 65, too, like, unfortunate, pretty young, considering, you know. Like,
I have to think Ricky liked to party.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
Oakland in the
what was
the,
it, pneumonia
the 80s,
that took him?
Yeah. You know?
Well, and honestly, I think a lot of people older, unfortunately, since COVID, it really has affected, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, so. I think something that's really cool. I heard an interview with somebody. Gosh, I can't remember. It wasn't McGuire. It wasn't Canseco. It wasn't La Russa. But somebody from those A's teams. Gosh, I really wish I could remember who it was. Who was on the Bash Brothers team that won a World Series. I think it was Dan Patrick asked him, was Ricky underrated? And he said, look, McGuire and Canseco were our everything offensively, but that team didn't work without Ricky. Because he got on base. He was the catalyst. He was the guy. And we don't have that really. I mean, Acuna, maybe, but Acuna is more sexy because of the home runs. But he's a flashy guy like Ricky. I mean, I would argue the only other leadoff hitter that I think is probably better than Ricky is a very sour conversation, and that's Pete Rose. Pete Rose, to me, is the ideal leadoff hitter. But we can't really do that because of all the S that goes around Pete Rose. So the answer is Ricky. And there is something about the modern game that I do miss, that I do wish had more Ricky Henderson.
I agree. Yeah, it's, you know, we see some of these teams that have these lower payrolls. They're able to get their, have their success and be able to win games and be able to make playoffs by playing that baseball that is old school, getting on
NL
base
style,
getting on base, taking bases, taking advantage
of guys over, and then someone hits a single and you're on third and
stealing bags like that. And so, yeah, I agree with you. It's that it's like an old school way of playing, but still modern in the sense where he did rely on this stealing bases and giving your teammates opportunities to knock you in and have that many runs scored in the season because they knew you were always going to be in scoring position. Like, a single for Ricky Henderson was essentially a double.
Yep.
Because you knew he was going to try and swipe it back.
He was going to try. Ricky Henderson won the MVP as a fun historian here. Ricky won the MVP in 1990. He is the all-time leader in runs scored with 2,295. He is the all-time stolen base leader at 1,406.
I'm curious who's second on that list and how big the gap is.
Of runs?
Of stolen bases.
I'll look that up in the break. He is also the all-time leader in caught stolen at 335.
Doesn't surprise me as well.
Stolen bases, 1,406. Caught stealing, 335.
That ain't a bad ratio.
That's a pretty good ratio.
You miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
Pretty good ratio. 2,100 walks. Career batting average of 279. That's a Hall of Famer.
I'm also just trying to think on a side note. I mean, this year we've lost Ricky Henderson, you've lost Sehei, Willie Mays.
Mm-hmm.
We've lost
Tim Wakefield.
Pete Rose. Lost
Pete
Rose, Wakefield. And that was going to be my next question. I was like, is there anybody I'm forgetting? Because also this year, I mean, as far as
the year before we lost Hank.
Was that last year?
I think it's 2 years ago.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah. I'm just trying to think if, like, it's like, man.
But Ricky was young, and he was always at the Hall of Fame ceremonies, and he was always being Ricky, and everybody wanted to say hi and give him a hug, and because he had that personality. We always ask that. Like, baseball lacks personality. Is there a bigger, we'll get out on this because I know we're up against it. Is there a bigger personality in the history of baseball than Ricky Henderson?
Again,
I mean, Pete Rose, one of them, but for different reasons.
Yeah. I mean, as far as like personality and being a great player that wasn't all roided up and
Gambling and controversial.
Yeah, cantankerous ass. Yeah, I mean, like, he's one of them, man. He's one of the cooler players of all time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
R.I.P. Ricky Henderson. And speaking of that, the Hall of Famer Ricky Henderson, who passes away, we give him love. We'll start the second hour in that world as well. The Hall of Fame ballot is out. I've got a question.
Fernando Valenzuela.
Oh, yeah.
That was another one we
lost
this year.
Great one. The Hall of Fame ballot is out. Are we going to get the second, or is somebody going to do something stupid? Plus, we'll get into some weird teams and fair or foul. Second hour coming up, loaded. Don't go anywhere. Hot Corner, 10 of the Fan.
Now you're kissing Chase Utley and that's it.
Why are you pushing Chase Utley on me? It's starting to get weird.
This is the Hot Corner.
Okay, look, I have a plan, all right? And it involves you getting this letter to him when you got out there to kiss him. Now, I have given this to Major League Baseball, his lawyer, his manager, his mom, and he has not gotten back to me, which means he hasn't gotten it yet. So just...
Did you write a love letter to Chase Utley?
With Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher.
In a lot of ways, yes, I do love him, but that is not a love letter in the way that you're thinking of it, okay? There's nothing sexual or...
Okay, that sounds good.
I'm gonna read it. Yeah, read it.
Dear Chase... Oh, they're stickers. Yeah. My God.
On the Odyssey app.
Dear Chase, I feel like I can call you Chase because you and me are so much alike. I would love to meet you someday. It would be great to have a catch. I know I can't throw as fast as you, but I think you would be impressed with my speed. Did you have a good relationship with your father? Me neither.
And 1080.
These are all things we can talk about and more. I am sure our relationship would be a real home run.
The Fan.
Welcome into the second hour of the Hot Corner. You're missing the first hour. You can download that fan podcast at 10ofthefan.com, the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts, including places that rhyme with Cooleyify. Shout out to Ryan Cooley, resident Red Sox fan here.
A Cooley station.
Congrats to him on being my boss. I'm still a Sacramento guy. I'm just going to throw that out there. Sacramento gave me a job, all right? Cooley ain't giving me no job right now.
Well, technically, no one gave you a job. You won the job.
That is true.
So, like, you should be... On my own merit. Yes, you should be tooting your own horn here, brother.
My own merits.
We were...
Not like you losers here. Yeah, would you apply and someone chose you? Cool. I forced their hand. I told them they had to take me. You don't want me? Then get out. You don't like it?
Would have been very Hollywood-esque to do all that, though, the hunt for the host stuff, and then be like, yeah, no, we're not actually giving you a job.
Yeah, like you win.
No, that was just for ratings. Ratings and sponsorship.
It's like American Idol. They're like, actually, we like the number two guy. Well, then you'd be Luke.
They were Cooley and Jeff Sacramento and sales guy Kurt and a few others were over at the old Emerald Line over by our office getting a drink after work last night.
Ooh, they got dancers there? That sounds like a dancer place.
No, it's just... It's literally just a bar.
Because I like dancers.
A stone's throw away.
I mean, we all like dancers.
And I ventured over there because I had a feeling that's where they were. And when I walked over, I saw Kurt Ludwig's car outside. And I was like, yeah, my suspicions were correct.
But Kurt never parties. So it must have been a big deal if you saw his car out there.
Right, yes.
Yeah, he never shows up to that stuff.
And then they were talking and Cooley was like, gosh, we should do Hunt for Host again. And I was like, I got a better idea. Let's do Hunt for Producer.
That is a great idea. Oh my God.
Have a bunch of like young 20-year-olds fresh out of college thinking they're about to have the best job of their life.
Will Ortner competes just because he's scared to lose.
Yeah, that's fair.
Schulze comes in hot singing Journey.
How quick can you pull 5 highlights from the logger? Go!
And Schulze's like, I'll do it while singing Steve Perry. When the lights go down in the city.
Well, then it was also, I was like,
And he's sitting there going, and the sun shines on the bay.
You gotta beat that. Can't anybody?
Well, I'm also, we were trying to come up with other challenges, and I was like, oh, let's have a fake, like, taking the station off air, like dead air. How quickly?
What do you do?
How quickly can you get an engineer on site to fix the problem?
And IT Joey's just on standby, and he's like, I'm not biased.
Yeah.
Whoever comes to me.
Or I just have a Jeff McGinley-like character on the other side of the phone just cursing you out.
I'm biased. I want another Hunt for Host because I want to be a judge.
Yeah.
When I won Hunt for Host, I had to deal with Keith and Luke judging me.
Wait, they Mike were judges in the second competition?
Oh, because they had won the first.
Oh, my God.
And I got Mike Lynch over there, Voldemort himself, just being like, this guy sucks. The only reason I won
God,
is...
God, I hope I never have to do a show with him.
The only reason I won is because there's some backroom antics with me and Isaac and Sook. Like, let's be real, I stacked the deck.
Did you pull a Joy Taylor?
No, I pulled a Skip.
Allegedly.
They just
allegedly.
Accepted.
You paid.
They just accepted it.
They're like, 1.5 mil.
Boy, on a side note, Joy, gosh, I'm so sorry you're a part of that.
I'm shocked.
I'm shocked that Joy, Skip, not at all.
No.
Joy, I'm a little surprised you're a part of this.
I'm not surprised at all.
From the rumors, apparently, that we're hearing now that were going around before this lawsuit came out from people connected with it, allegedly, this has been a rumor for a while.
Dude, Joy Taylor had the twins out at
all
any
time.
Given moment.
And she didn't on Monday. I didn't watch today, but I know that...
I can't believe she's still on the air.
The fact that Fox just kind of put her out there. Then you see Emmanuel Acho. He put like on his Twitter, like, why Detroit beat Minnesota in the final week of the regular season?
Say, it's the 48-hour news cycle, my man. Just, you know, act like it never happened.
I would like to retract. I don't love dancers. I am being reminded that I don't love dancers. That's not my thing.
Your wife texts you?
Yeah.
You like what?
But she's not wrong. I don't like dancers. I don't.
Oh, come
on. I just assumed you guys
did. That's not what you told
me in the
break.
I was trying to be a part of the cool kids, all right?
That's not what he told me in the commercial break. Not at all.
Let's get to this real quick. Speaking of Ricky Henderson being a Hall of Famer and a leadoff hitter, maybe one of the greatest of all time, the 2025 Hall of Fame ballot is out. And we're seeing some traction on it as the voting closes not too far away from here. So I'd love to kind of like walk you guys through, if you had a vote, who would you vote for? New candidates this year are Carlos Gonzalez, Curtis Granderson, Felix Hernandez, both of your Adam Jones, Ian Kinsler,
that's a sore spot for
Russell
me.
Martin, Fernando Rodney. Where is it? I don't know where it is.
Oh, my
shoot
God.
Shoot the arrow, baby.
There we go.
Ichiro Suzuki, Troy Tulowitzki, and Ben Zobrist. Those are your news. Your leftovers are Bobby Abreu, Carlos Beltran, Mark Burley, Torrey Hunter, Andrew Jones, Brian McCann. No, he's new. So is Pedroia. Pettit,
well, he's
Hanley
new,
Ramirez, Manny Ramirez, Alex Rodriguez, K-Rod, Jimmy Rollins, Chase Utley, Omar Vizquel, David Wright. You get 10. I don't think I've ever seen a ballot in which I would vote for all 10.
So you believe in not using all of your
votes? Oh, for
votes.
Sure.
Okay, because there are some out there like that.
For sure. I firmly believe, and I've said this for 10 years on this show, when it comes to a Hall of Fame ballot, when you mention a guy's name, if the answer instantly is not yes, the answer is no.
Yeah.
So if you're like Chase Utley, I go, you know, that's a no.
That's a no.
That's a no. And so that's how I live my world. So I will start you off right now. From leftovers, I am not a steroid guy. So I will not vote for people.
But do you care about your Hall of Famers being steroid guys?
I do care about my Hall of Famers being steroid guys.
You don't have to do steroids yourself. You know this. Right?
I agree. I do know this. Otherwise, Andy Pettit, Manny Ramirez, and Alex Rodriguez are three of the best players I ever saw in my life. However, you're out. So my vote on this is CC Sabathia, Ichiro Suzuki, and Felix Hernandez. Honestly, I'm only voting for new guys. Ooh, I'm voting for Omar Vizquel. Not because I'm a Cleveland guy. But he is the greatest defensive shortstop, not named Alex Rodriguez, in the history of baseball. And just because he smacked his wife, which is a terrible, terrible, terrible thing, That's what's keeping him out of the Hall of Fame.
Draw the line at steroids. Meanwhile, Pudge Rodriguez,
Jeff Bagwell, Ty Cobb, a bunch of douches.
Don't leave out, Omar was also accused of, I believe, abusing a bat boy for a minor league team that he was coaching for a few years ago. So it's not just his wife. Omar sounds like a jerk.
I understand, but he's not a steroid guy.
God. Oh, my. Oh, wow.
That's, you couldn't even finish that statement.
I almost had to dump myself. My God.
Because steroids actually have to do something with baseball, whereas apparently abusing people off the field has nothing to do with the game.
Hey, the NFL doesn't care about it.
Let Ozzie Albies in, baby. Let's go. Jeez.
Billy Wagner is getting a lot of traction.
Well, it's his last year, right?
Yeah, he's one of the top...
It's his last year.
Top five closers of all time.
Chase Utley is getting some traction right now.
Which I don't know why.
Andrew Jones gets a little bit of traction. Andy Pettit is actually getting a little bit of traction right now.
He do roids?
Pettit? Oh, yeah. Well, HGH. Only in Houston, though.
Okay.
According to him.
All right, splitting hairs here.
But if I had a vote, paging Larry Stone, if I had a vote, I would vote for Felix Hernandez, CeCe Sabathia, Ichiro Suzuki, and Omar Vizquel. That would be my vote.
No love for Pedroia?
No. I think one-time MVP,
right?
I think his MVP season, and he had a couple years where he was really good and a big factor for Red Sox winning World Series.
What about K-Rod?
No, I'm not voting for Billy Wagner. Why would I vote for K-Rod?
Wow. I mean, Andy Pettit.
I love Pettit, but the HGH.
His postseason, though.
Him and Curt Schilling are two of the greatest postseason pitchers I've ever seen in my life. And for the record, I would vote for Curt Schilling. Without a doubt.
You will kill me, dude.
Without a doubt. Curt Schilling is one of the greatest pitchers I've
ever
seen in my
human,
entire life.
You're good. Take steroids? Absolutely not.
Four World Series. Yep. Bloody sock. Curt Schilling, you're in. Steroids, you're out.
I don't know. There's part of me where it's just like, yeah, you might have been a roided up freak, but putting the bat on the ball is still something that steroids can't really do to me.
Say that to Barry Bonds.
Well, again, but like Manny Ramirez did it. And
one of the best pure hitters I've ever seen in my entire life up there with Albert Pujols, Ichiro.
And you still wouldn't vote for him.
And Miggy Cabrera.
And you still wouldn't vote for him.
No, because you busted.
There's a lot of players on this ballot that are really good.
This is the Hall of Really Good.
Yeah, this
ballot.
Is like, yeah, Hall of Really Good, but not the Hall of Great. And I do wonder, like, where Carlos Beltran, who was a Hall of Famer, I think, before the sign-stealing scandal, does that keep him out longer than normal?
And see, I don't think he was a Hall of Famer before all that. Now, that ruined him.
I mean, when I look at these other statistics, he was a couple hundred hits short of 3,000 compared
his
to the other...
His postseason is stupid.
Beltran will get in. He's at 57% on his third year. Yeah. By year 10, he will get...
Like a little Tim Rock Reigns sort of situation.
I think I would vote for him, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, Beltran... crushed it in Houston when he was a player.
Kansas City Beltran. The Mets Beltran.
Yeah, I mean...
so good.
Time heals all wounds.
He's a switch hitter, is he not?
And he didn't do
Beltran,
roids.
Beltran, yeah, he is.
He did not do roids that we know of. I hate saying that, but he did not do roids. He did not do roids. I think Carlos Beltran gets less love because of the Trash Throws.
Do you think Andrew Jones is going to be able to close the gap over the next couple of years?
Nope, I don't. If Torrey Hunter's not a Hall of Famer, Andrew Jones is not a Hall of Famer.
Listen, I appreciate Andrew Jones dropping to a knee, trying to hit home runs, and just trying to absolutely
being a great center fielder is awesome, but ask Griffey, ask Mays, ask Trout. There's more to being a great center fielder.
Yeah, but Andrew Jones was a good hitter, too.
He was an okay hitter.
Just the level of
he's a Hall of very good hitter
from him. See, but I've actually got him on my ballot. He was one of the toughest inclusions here.
You
want
to use all 10, don't you?
I don't think so, because there aren't players that I think that I would force those votes onto to vote for, but I've got 7 right now that I would use. Mark Burley I would include.
Mark Burley's stats, you put him next to CeCe Sabathia, they're about identical.
Exactly. Well, I would also put CeCe in as well. So CeCe, Mark Burley, I would include Andrew Jones, I would include Billy Wagner, I would include David Wright, Ichiro, Carlos Beltran, and controversially, dude. Felix Hernandez.
And we're out on this.
Yep. David Wright.
David Wright.
No.
No, thank you.
No.
Really?
He had the Eli Manning helmet.
No. And it's because he played in New York.
Yeah, yeah.
He gets a benefit of the doubt because he played in New York.
I think David Wright is a more injured Alex Bregman.
Also, real quickly, am I getting Andrew Jones and Gary Sheffield mixed up? Who was the one that dropped to a knee when just trying to crush bombs?
Both of them.
Well, I feel like
Andrew Jones did it. Like Adrian Beltre, Andrew Jones, and Gary Sheffield dropped to knees.
They would take a swing and literally fall on their back
yes.
knee.
Yes.
Okay. I was trying to say, I was like, I said Andrew Jones at first, and I was like, wait, I feel like Sheffield did that too. So
I'm going to push the Red Sox aside to next week. We'll talk about them and see if they
How
have any other
actions. How about push them aside forever?
Forever. I know. Well, Boss Man Cooley's going to be mad if I do. So when we come back, I want to stay with the Hall of Fame conversation because there's something that we really haven't touched on that I would love to know what you guys think. That's Jordan Schultz on the ones and twos. Joe Fisher to my left. I'm Patrick Harris, 1080 The Fan. I knew this would be kind of a hot contest. We'll have Fair or Foul coming up in about 15 minutes. But I knew talking about the Hall of Fame, Joe and I were just talking about it throughout the entire break. There's just so many factors that go into this, but I want to switch. Something that I don't think Jordan said, and I think it was Freudian slip when he mentioned his people that he's voting for. A few years ago, Mariano Rivera went into the Hall of Fame as the first ever unanimous. Now, a lot of that is BS.
God, I wish there was just one guy that said no.
Yeah, because like Griffey, Seaver, Maddox, Johnson, like Clemente, Mantle, there's a bunch of dudes that were never unanimously. But we got one guy who bucked the trend and made unanimous, and that's Mariano Rivera. Shout out Voldemort. So it made me wonder, is this where that trend kind of finally dies? That we can all say, okay, there's no reason to just vote no for somebody because you don't want unanimous. I think that there might be somebody that will be the number two unanimous, and he's on this ballot.
Absolutely.
And nobody's talked about it. And it's Ichiro Suzuki. Ichiro Suzuki might be the greatest contact hitter, the greatest eye, the greatest leadoff hitter, RIP Ricky Henderson, of all time. Ichiro was already a Hall of Famer in Japan. He came to America in 27 and still had more hits than every player ever, minus Pete Rose.
Well, I agree with you 100%. But you know, there's going to be some dude in bum F nowhere that has a vote.
But he didn't for Mo. So why would you vote no for Ichiro? Are you racist?
Yes.
Is it the slap bunt?
Yeah, quite possibly. I think the way that he got some of his hits, people will say that, yes. Oh, that's not true baseball.
But he's going to be the first Japanese player inducted into the Hall of Fame.
All he did was hit singles, no postseason success.
Oh, but he played for bad Mariners.
Yeah, that wasn't his fault.
I get
Dan Marino went to a Super Bowl his second year and is maybe the best thrower of the football of all time.
You take all of these things into consideration, though, there will be one dude, Keith Johnson, that has a random
Luke
Hall of Fame
Anderson.
Vote. Has a Hall of Fame vote.
Just making up names over here.
Tuskegee, Oklahoma, or whatever. And
Muskogee.
He's been right.
Muskogee, Oklahoma.
Sure. And he's been writing for baseball for the last 50, 60 years. And, well, that's not how we play baseball in America.
And his dad, like, fought in the Korean War. If and even though Ichiro is Japanese and not Korean, he's biased.
if he was really good at baseball, he would have came over here when he was 20.
No, yeah, because that's how that works.
Yeah. It's not going to be unanimous.
You don't think so?
No, it should be, but I bet you there will be one or two guys.
I think as we're on trajectories here, I'm very curious about who are the guys that will be unanimous. After
Mo, whole list of
after
the
Mo broke, after Mo broke the boundary, because let's be real, Mantle, Clemente, Ruth, Gehrig, Maddox, Johnson, Seaver, Johnny Bench, like who's voting no against Johnny Bench?
Ooh.
Like none of those guys are unanimous. But now that barrier has been broken,
there's 385 Hall of Fame voters. There's going to be one racist old dude on this list.
But he didn't say no to Mario Rivera, and he's brown from South America.
That's true. Well, he's a New York guy, and I feel like the whole Yankees baseball tradition. Like
and Ichiro's a Seattle guy, way out of nowhere.
Nobody
and he's
cares
Japanese,
about the Mariners.
And
this Teddy Greenstein. He screams that he is not going to be down with that.
I just want to know, like, are we on a trajectory that we're going to see Like, Greg Maddux is a 100% Hall of Famer. The fact that...
Okay.
Joe.
He's a 300-game winner, Joe. What the hell are you talking about?
Joe, you got me. I was like, what? That's funny. I was ready to destroy you. But, like, the fact... Like, now that it's busted open, is Miggy Cabrera 100%?
I think so.
Is Albert Pujols 100%?
Well, Miggy Cabrera hit 500 home runs, so yes.
Is Justin Verlander 100%?
We've had all these.
But we all say that. But to Joe's point, is there some curmudgeon who's like, "Well, that one year Verlander had in Houston where they cheated.
There was one dude.
I'm not going to vote for him.
There was one dude that said no for Jeter. There was three guys that said no for Ken Griffey Jr.
And I want to. And all those dudes should be lined up and shot
and
murdered.
Wasn't there excuse?
Who voted no for Randy Johnson?
I'm pretty sure the excuse was, well, everybody else was going to vote for him in some of those instances. So I just decided I didn't.
What are you,
to.
The original hipster of yes. the Baseball Writers Association that, well, of America?
That's what it was. I think they like had to limit the
six dudes for Nolan Ryan. We're like,
I think it was fast, but it wasn't that fast.
I think they had to limit the parameters of what writers that participate in the BBWAA can actually like be, because there were just some that apparently weren't watching baseball. I think they fixed that sure. long ago. But that has happened before.
Who's this George Brett?
Mike Schmidt.
God.
Sounds like Mike Bleep.
Hank Aaron got 406 out of 415.
Yeah, that's...
Well, we know why Hank.
That's
we know why
really
Hank.
Essie. That's,
people didn't vote for Hank because he's black. That's obvious. That's
it was really 1982. Crappy.
Yeah, that's still obvious.
Didn't Adam
You're
Jones
You're less than 15 years
shot?
Away from MLK,
See,
dude.
This is what I'm saying. Tony Gwynn... The best Black. Hitter of all time. Okay. All right.
This I'm serious. I'm serious.
This is why, this proves my point, though. That's why 13 dudes on this list are going to be like, Ichiro.
I just think it would do the Hall so much more justice. The Hall gets so much accolades for being the only real true Hall of Fame, because we laugh about Canton. We laugh about the NBA or the Basketball Hall of Fame. You know, we laugh about all these other stuff, college football, et cetera, et cetera. Major League Baseball has always done what people think is the best in the All-Star Game and the Hall of Fame. And I just think it would behoove the Hall of Fame drastically to start realizing that recognizing true Hall of Famers, it's okay if you vote for them. It's okay if everybody else votes for them. Look, when Justin Verlander, the new San Francisco Giant, retires, that guy's a Hall of Famer. Like, just vote for him. Ichiro is a Hall of Famer. I can understand if you're like, CeCe, I don't know. I can hear that conversation. I think he's a Hall of Famer, but I can hear that conversation. Felix Hernandez is going to get strung out on this. Billy Wagner is currently being strung out on this. I can hear those conversations, but people like Ichiro, Miggy Cabrera, Derek Jeter, Ken Griffey, Greg Matt, like, can we not get to a point where it's just like, yeah, that guy was one of the best ever.
I agree. I hear you. I have common sense.
Sorry,
like you.
I went on a little bit of a tangent.
Hey, listen, I feel like there's a common sense argument here.
Yeah, that's what it is. Why do we have to take common sense out of baseball when every time we watch baseball, we use common sense?
Well, these guys have these
I mean,
Hall of Fame votes. They have too much ego and too much pride. I mean,
when you're a shortstop and the ball comes to you, you throw to where you need to throw because it's common sense.
Well, maybe Felix would have been better if he maybe tried to hit more.
Well, here's some common sense. How about anybody that doesn't vote for Ichiro in this year's Hall of Fame voting?
Your vote.
Yeah, you get eliminated from the process because you obviously don't apply the correct way to watch
the
game.
I
want to
find the three guys that didn't vote for Griffey. I hate Derek Jeter.
I want to find
the one guy that didn't vote for Derek Jeter. You lose your vote.
If three men did not vote for Ken Griffey Jr. as a Hall of Famer, I guarantee that Ichiro will not be a unanimous Hall of Famer. Guarantee it.
I'm fired up. I gotta get out of here. All right, we come back. Fair or foul, everybody's favorite segment. First, we'll throw it to Schultzy with sports. All right, this is everybody's favorite, Fair or Foul. We do it every single Tuesday at the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. Without further ado, we will throw this over to our fantastic producer, Schultzy.
Appreciate you guys. Speaking of players lost in the last year, we just lost the player in this intro known for blowing the ball foul. Lenny Randle passed away at the age of 75, I believe, like a week ago or something like that. So just not stopping, man. It's really sad. I heard that intro and I'm like, oh, God, we lost him too.
People be dying.
That happens, huh?
I think I'm going to die.
I think so, too. I will. No. Don't want to.
At some point.
Yeah.
Jordan, don't get in the car
tonight.
Oh, I
think sooner than later. Just calling it now.
Let's hope not. Come on. We're all going to live into our 90s here on the show, guys. All right? Fair or foul? 90s plus for all of us. I say fair. All right. Real fair or foul, though. Let's start with the Los Angeles Dodgers because they just cannot stop.
Those guys still play baseball?
Apparently, and they're spending a lot of freaking money on doing so. They are still rumored to be in the conversation for the Japanese star pitcher that is going to come to
base. Roki Sass.
Major League Baseball this season.
Roki Sasaki.
He is meeting reportedly with a handful of teams. Mariners aren't included in that, but the Dodgers have been known to be in on that conversation. They also just re-signed Teoscar Hernandez to a 3-year deal. So, relatively similar.
Took less money.
He did, because he wants to win another World Series. I get it.
He was pretty good.
Yeah, fairly similar to their team last year, just minus Walker Buehler and possibly plus a Roki Sasaki, guys. Fair or foul, we should just give the 2025 World Series trophy to the Dodgers right now.
I feel like we did this last year.
Yeah.
And it was right. Like, yes. Or like, as soon as they got Shohei, we're like, all right, well, congratulations to the 2024 World Series winners, the Los Angeles Dodgers. And
they did win.
And they did win it. I would say fair, but it's just because the team is loaded already. Like, whether they get Sasaki or not, like, they still probably have the best odds to win the World Series. So, fair, but not because of being able to get the other great Japanese player.
I'm the opposite of you. I will say foul. I am not going to crown them. I think it's twofold. One, remember when the Dodgers were left for dead? And the Padres were going to advance. Okay. There's that. And that reinforces my main point on this is that baseball, she's a weird bitch. She really is. Sometimes things just don't go your way. Baseball is a game of streak. Baseball is a game of situation. If Aaron Judge doesn't drop that ball in the fifth, if there's just so many ifs that I think baseball is one of the true games that you still have to play on the field. That when Kevin Durant and Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and Draymond Green, yeah, you're cooked. Yeah, you're cooked. You can't stop that. You just can't. Baseball, because it's a stop-and-go sport, because it's a pitcher versus a hitter, if some guy gets that extra juice on it, gets that extra move on it, Shohei strikes out. Are the Dodgers the best team in baseball? Yeah. Are they favored? Of course they are. Should they? Yeah. If they don't, will it be a surprise? Of course it will. Baseball, to me, is still a game that's played on the field. I will say foul.
All right. I like it, but
wrong.
Right last year, so yeah, just freaking give it to him.
Like this texter says, I put Omar below A-Rod defensively, but not around the Hall of Famer because of steroids. Yes, the answer is yes. A-Rod's on steroids. Omar Vizquel's not.
All right, guys, fair or foul number two. Get into a debate about a couple of other now current Major League Baseball players instead of former, but two free agents left on the market. Probably the biggest names hitting-wise, Alex Bregman and Pete Alonso remain unsigned. Seeing this came out in the last 20 hours or so, there are reportedly 8 teams interested in Pete Alonso. That would include the Blue Jays and the Boston Red Sox.
Blue Jays already have a first baseman.
I know. I don't think the Mets, though. are going to be in on that conversation. It doesn't sound like that the numbers that they're asking for, at least Boris and Alonso are asking for, which apparently is around 6 years, $160 million, $180 million.
I heard they're looking at the Prince Fielder deal,
which was 9 years, $214 million, with Detroit back in 2012 as a comparison. I cannot believe Pete thinks he's going to get that. On the other side of the coin, Alex Bregman, there are two reported suitors for him. This came out in the last week. The, once again, Toronto Blue Jays looking for infield help, and then the Detroit Tigers as well, who are trying to add to their really surprising good young team, guys. But nobody has signed them yet. They've both kind of been rumored to sign with the Mariners, but M's haven't done anything. Fair or foul, Alex Bregman and Pete Alonso won't sign with anyone before the start of spring training.
I'll go first on this. Pete, I don't know. I think Alonso is the real I don't know. And probably some of that is Boris, but I also think that I don't know where Pete best fits. I think his style of play and what he's going to want for money, I don't know who really takes that seriously. Now, Bregman, on the other hand, I think Bregman knows his market value. And I think teams know his market value. To where Pete's looking for a high leverage contract, to where Bregman's already got a big deal, he's just looking for market value. I love Bregman in Detroit. I hate Alex Bregman. I love him in Detroit. Put him back with AJ Hinch. Put him with some kids. He's instantly the leader, the captain of that team. As an Indians fan, I hate him in Detroit, but I think that would be an amazing fix. Pete, I don't know where he fits best. Like you mentioned, like the Mariners need a first baseman. They would love him. I think Pete would fit really well in Texas. I think he would fit really well in the Mets. I think he might fit really well at the Yankees. I think there's a lot of places that Pete Alonso fits well. But I just don't know if anybody's going to really give him what he wants, which means he'll sit for a while. So I'll say fair on Pete, foul on Bregman.
That neither will sign before spring training.
Yeah.
So foul on the whole thing, because I think Bregman will sign.
Okay.
I say foul on the whole thing because I feel like they need to take note of what happened last year.
Snell and Montgomery.
Yeah, now granted, pitchers versus, you know,
totally
hitters and fielders.
But I think you're on to this.
I think it is a bad move to hold out for what? Oh, I want $5 million more. I want $10 million more. I want I want $2 million more. I don't know what deals are being thrown out to them. I can imagine Bregman's isn't bad.
He turned down 6 years, $149-$150 million from the Astros already.
Well, I mean, and what was the report?
I could see the Tigers do 6-175. Well, they need him.
Well, what was the report?
Like, in name only, not just on the field.
What was the reports early on that he wanted, like, 240?
Oh, yeah, way more than he's
going to get. I
think
he thought the Yankees or Red Sox would go after him.
Am I wrong on that, though? No. Like, was that the initial reports? Is that what they were asking for? Just kind of like, hey, let's start high.
Yeah.
And then work our way down.
And come down $65 million.
You just said the barometer was the Prince Fielder deal, which was $250 million.
Well, that was
$1 million.
Pete Alonso is what I read today.
I mean, that frankly, they're kind of in the same category. Third baseman versus first baseman.
I'd rather have Bregman than
slugging
Alonso.
They're valued probably pretty similar. Maybe Bregman slightly more because of the defense.
I can see Bregman in a Tigers jersey with AJ Hinch.
Makes sense.
Bringing the band back together.
I'm going to say foul that they saw small sample sizes of players that did not get to their teams in time for the season, for spring training, and how it went for them. Snell turned it on late. Montgomery never
Snell
turned it on.
Snell could have won the Cy Young last year. He was that good in the second half.
I'm going to say foul that they both signed before spring training.
All right, we'll see what happens. It's interesting to hear about
the
guys.
Alonzo one is the weird one for me. I think Bregman will get it done.
I hear you, but when guys ask for way more, and that's what we heard about both of these guys, just kind of asking way above their station to start free agency. You saw what happened to Jordan Montgomery last year. You saw what happened to Blake Snell last year. Worked out for Snell, didn't work out for Montgomery. So I wouldn't be surprised if one of two of these guys ends up flailing just because of having to deal with an SE process this offseason.
By the way, next week we should probably talk about how the Blue Jays are in on every free agent, but don't sign any of them, and they're studs they want to trade. So,
well, at least they're in on them.
Food for thought. Well, they're in for them to build a team, but they don't want to re-sign their studs. So, I mean,
from a team that's actually at least talking about signing free agents and making offers to a team that isn't.
Well, absolutely squad douche.
Making trades or anything.
Squad douche.
Miami Marlins. Squad douche Mariners.
Miami Marlins.
I know. They're actually going to trade Sandy Alcantara, as far as I know. Like, no, somebody's going to get that starting pitching prize from them. And they already did a deal with the Yankees this offseason. So they actually have done more than the Seattle Mariners. They have literally done nothing besides releasing Josh Rojas, releasing Luis Arias, getting rid of a couple of other, like, JT Chargois, small bullpen piece, and signing a minor league catcher. They have done nothing on the open market. There have been talks that they turned down a... Who's the Japanese pitcher for Boston?
No, it's Yoshida.
Yeah,
the left fielder. Or the right fielder.
They reportedly turned down a deal for Yoshida and Tristan Casas. I swear there's a
for Luis Castillo.
Yeah, for Luis
it's because
Castillo.
Yoshida makes a lot
makes
of money.
Makes a ton of money. They need hitters, but they don't want to take on any money.
I think the outfield of Julio and Randy and Yoshida would be pretty rad.
Or Victor
Casas at first.
Victor Robles would have been great in the outfield and play any of those guys the fourth at DH.
I don't like that.
It would have freaking worked, but they don't do it. They have not shown any willingness to spend money or make moves, even though there's still reports that they're dangling Luis Castillo out there as a trade piece, guys. Fair or foul, Jerry Dipoto and the Mariners will not make any moves before spring training.
I'm going to say foul. I'm with you on this, and I have it on my list of I've got a big list of stuff I want to get to in the offseason of things that have gone down. I teased Cooley's Red Sox to talk about them and what they're doing, and that's kind of the conversation we're having right now. So I've got the Mariners on that. The fact that the A's are outspending the Mariners, like, is laughable.
Twilight Zone.
I think it's fascinating that Luis Castillo is on the market. His contract, they don't want to pay. And so that's why they said no to the Yoshida, because they don't want to just take on the same salary, which I think is dumb, because I think Yoshida and Casas are an upgrade, and you would still have the best rotation in baseball. But I can't believe they're going to sit by and do nothing. No. Now... what they do trade for, I have no idea. I really liked them in the Bellinger deal. I really liked them in Bregman, Roki, all this kind of stuff. But they've kind of faded. Dipoto is a guy that does stuff.
They're spending less money now than they did on their payroll in 2017.
But Dipoto loves to do stuff. So I have to believe he's so. I will say foul. They will do something. Yosef.
I'm going to say... fair, they won't do anything. And when I say don't do anything, I actually mean they're going to trade for some middling mid-reliever.
Sure, sure. Yeah, that doesn't count.
No, it does not.
So,
but there's no Pete Alonso. There's no Alex Bregman. There's no Alcantara. Like,
there's not even going to be a Justin Turner, in my opinion, at this point.
Ouch. Jeez.
Well, they got
doom
out,
and gloom.
They
over
outbid
there.
The Dear Guardians Christ. For Carlos Santana, and Carlos Santana picked the Guardians.
Yeah, I think if
came it, home, baby.
I came think home. If they would have done anything, it would have been done by now.
Do we need an armed guard outside the booth for Suicide Watch over there?
Yeah, I think we are going to actually get an armed security guy for this building.
We do need one.
Once our upstairs tenant moves in.
Can they check in? Why, is it like weed?
No, it's like steel or something like that. Oh. I don't know.
Worth money.
Can they check in on
Schultz? They put in a flagpole.
Can they be Google Calendar shared with Schultzy to make sure that whenever he's in the building, they got to come down and check on him?
Hey, you okay, kid?
Are we good, guys? You good? Yeah. Hand on the stun gun.
You gonna stun me so I don't off myself?
That'd be a good radio bit. We need to do more radio bits like that. On air, eat this, eat a spoonful of mayo, Patrick.
I'll pay you $1.5 million if you want to.
pull a hairdresser on me. We need to do more stuff like that.
Ew.
We need to bring back old bits.
That is Fair or Foul. We do it every single Tuesday at the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. We come back, wrap this bad boy up. Hot Corner, 10 of the Fin. All right, coming up on the show next week, we got a lot still in store. All right, there is plenty of stuff that I'd like to get into. There's Nolan Arenado.
My boy, Corbin Burns.
Corbin Burns.
Going to the team that I essentially have the least... like care and least fear about in maybe all of MLB besides the Miami Marlins.
The NL West is absolutely crazy.
It's like, go ahead, go to the Diamondbacks. That is completely fine with me.
There's Sammy Sosa is in the news.
What did he do?
We'll tune in next week.
Is he
we'll
black
do that.
Again?
No, he randomly had an apology about nothing to be invited back to Cubs. Anyway, we'll do that.
Oh, it's the Jason Giambi apology.
We'll do that.
Gotcha.
We'll do that. There is some Lorenzen talk about being a two-way player and how that affects rosters.
Ooh, I love that.
There's Red Sox I want to talk about.
Like Michael Lorenzen?
Yeah, like if he has a certain amount of at-bats,
which he has
qualifies
hit.
For both sides of the ball, which opens up a roster spot.
I don't know why more teams don't do this.
I know. Corbin Burns, the NL West. There's so much more to get to. But we're going to pause from baseball real quick because there's some stuff coming up. And since we're up against it, I just figured it'd be a little fun. Penn State, Notre Dame, Ohio State, Texas. I would just like to chat for a minute. This is a safe circle here. Of the four teams, you have to root for one. Who do you choose?
It's funny you say this because I recorded my podcast before this show and I was telling my co-host, I was like, dude, is this like the worst collection of four teams in a Final
I mean,
four?
It's an evil empire. If you traded out Penn State for like Bama.
That's what I was going to say.
Then it's like, oh my God, I hate my life.
I don't like any of this, yeah.
Or like USC's in there or Georgia. You know, it's funny that, like, Georgia lost, but...
But there's definitely
part of
the
Penn
me...
State is also like, that Sandusky stuff.
Absolutely not, yeah. No. If I had to choose one team out of these four, I would say Notre Dame.
Me too!
I don't really have beef with Notre Dame.
I think for so long, the Brady Quinns of the world... The Jeff Samardzijas of the world. Like,
way to tie it back to baseball.
Like, the Manti Te'os of the world.
I mean, I just feel bad for the guy.
Yeah, like, Notre Dame, they, like, show up to these games, and you're like, the oldest, most historic program in college football is here, and they're losing by 30 at halftime.
Yeah. Like, here they are playing against Alabama in the national championship game. What a moment for Notre Dame. Oh, my God. They look terrible.
Yeah, dude.
Opening day, and here's the first pitch, and the season's over.
I think Marcus Freeman winning a national championship would be pretty cool because after that NIU loss earlier this year against Northern Illinois,
they steamrolled.
There was part of me that was like, dude, this guy is on the hot seat.
Yep,
like,
you're getting fired.
You have lost
some
games.
We're bringing back Brian Kelly.
You have lost some
Bill
games.
Bill O'Brien, come through the door.
Charlie Weiss?
Charlie Weiss? No, he's dead.
Well, I know, but was he not their head coach at one
time? He was.
Okay. Is Charlie Weiss dead?
I think he is dead.
No.
No?
Charlie Weiss
68 years old.
Breaking news.
Charlie Weiss dead or alive?
That guy's health is
not great. Well, hey, Ricky Henderson was 65. So
that guy's health is not great.
Can't be, no. Still alive, 68.
I'm with you. I think Notre Dame...
Best shape of my life, he says.
Notre Dame winning a natty in the first expanded playoff as... Basically, the oldest historical college football team not in the Ivy League, I think would be a great story. And I actually was thinking today, like, if Marcus Freeman wins the Natty this year, and I know I'm going to totally derail this conversation. If he wins the Natty this year and the Steelers get blown out, do you fire Mike Tomlin and go hire Marcus Freeman?
No.
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 Notre Dame will not let him
go. He seems like a Steeler guy, though.
You can't fire
I see what
Mike
you're saying.
Tomlin.
You know what I mean? And not because they're like black guys. I don't mean that. But like, Marcus Freeman.
I know what you mean.
Marcus Freeman looks like a dude that could be at Notre Dame. Like, Brian Kelly never had this. I would even argue Lou Holtz never had this.
It's funny because I see, when I see Marcus Freeman, I'm like, he doesn't really, like.
He's younger than
whenever,
me.
Whenever it shows him on the sideline, I'm like, oh, yeah, I guess he is the head coach of Notre Dame. That's weird.
And he could be there for another 40 years.
I know. That's also why, like, I just imagine a Notre Dame coach as just being an old curmudgeon white guy. And Marcus Freeman does not fit that mold at all. And you're exactly right. It's like, do we really see Marcus Freeman being the head coach of Notre Dame until he's like 80?
And he's like, I love Notre Dame. It's my favorite place I've ever been. Okay, so we're back in Notre Dame as our favorite. Who do you actually think is going to win? Are we going to say this on the count of three? One, two, three, no, Ohio State. Yeah.
Yeah,
that team looks really good.
Yeah,
I was at the bar.
It's annoying how good they
look. I went to the bar watching the Rose Bowl, and I do troll Oregon. You know I troll Oregon, but that's some Pac-10 old school beef.
Hey, four in a row.
Full recruiting cycle, baby. Let's go. Go Cougs. Mariota bailed you out and won a Heisman against my team. So congratulations. I was sitting there and I was talking about that Smith kid to some people. And I was like, this guy will play on Sundays. And if he wasn't a freshman, he'd be in the league tomorrow.
He'd be playing on Sundays.
He is so good.
Yeah. Whatever.
Will Howard is whatever, but he's good enough to get him the ball. Jesus. Oh, my God. That team is good.
Whatever, good for them.
And it just kind of happened. Sorry, guys. I'm not trying to pile on your Oregon. I promise.
Horns up.
You guys are hella mad, and that's good enough for me. All right, that'll do it for us. We'll be back next week again. We got a ton of baseball stuff to talk about. Plus, like, we like to dive into some other things. So, buckle up for that. That's Joe Fisher, Schultzy on the ones and twos. I'm Patrick Harris. Go do something. I would do. Cam Ward sucks.